incarnate Word and Holy Spirit. May we never quench the Spirit. Good morning. Good morning is well my past. It's what I welcome to All Souls. We've had a wonderful morning thus far. To a confirmation reception at the 7:30 service in what I'm told is Vice President Cheney's safe house. I have some doubt about that. And then the wonderful 9 o'clock service, and then your various. I got Caroline guided me around, and we were able to sample some of your various forms. Today, we have before us this enigmatic, powerful, magnetic figure of John the Baptist. Such an amazing, amazing figure to me. At the last paragraph of Albert Schweitzer's groundbreaking book, The Quest for the Historical Jesus, begins, "He comes to us as one unknown." This beautiful evocation of what Schweitzer did for us at that time, decades and decades ago then, which was to clear away the assumption that all those massive works of German, primarily German scholarship, had shown us the historical Christ. Instead, he said, well, we just projected ourselves onto this figure. So he comes to us as one unknown. But it's equally true that this amazing figure who is the forerunner is one unknown to us. He is an enigmatic figure through all the centuries. And I wonder if we can get a clearer picture of his ministry and who he was today. There's a character in the Poisonwood Bible, that amazing, hard-to-read book. I found hard-to-read book. The protagonist, a young woman. And at near the end of the book, she is done with all the colonial pressure that she had felt in her life. And she walks away from the city and along a dusty road and into the trees carrying a Bible. And every step she takes, another page of the Bible tears off and floats away until all that colonial, as she had received it, pressure was liberated from her. And she is something else when she is free of that. Well, John is a little like that today. I am not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet. And finally, we're at a kind of primal place with no labels, no name for him. And they said, well, can you give us, like, something? And he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amazing. Voice, breath, Holy Spirit. He perhaps is helping us understand that his ministry is one of co-creating or sub-creating with God. God, the great creator, brought everything, the world, the planet, everything into being. And we, made in the image of the creator God, are also creators. We are also creators. And we have the gift in us, every one of us, of co-creating, co-arising, sub-creating. Years and years ago, I was privileged to hear a person who was on the outer circle of the Inklings, that amazing group of women and men and one woman who met in Oxford, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and Owen Barfield, Charles Williams, Dorothy Sayers, maybe the best of them all. And this person was speaking about Tolkien and about his tremendously imaginative writing. And he said Tolkien was a sub-creator. He made a world. And today in fantasy writing, people talk about world creating. World creating. So John was doing that, accommodating him to the Holy Spirit as the voice that creates what? A world of justice. A world of justice. He creates straight paths and smooth paths. That is, He's straightening things out. He's bringing a new way of understanding justice and peace in the world in which He is. We understand that partly by where He was doing it and what He wore and ate. Those strange things that are never going to catch on. I don't think. Where was He? He was what they said, Transjordan. He was on the other side of the Jordan from the settled area. So He wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't in the promised land. He was deliberately back where His ancestors and the ancestors of all those who were coming out to Him had been as they were coming on their long 40-year pilgrimage. And He did that deliberately to be able to say, we're starting over. The structures of our society are unjust, and we're starting over. And I'm wearing the clothing of the desert, and I'm eating the food of people on pilgrimage, so that I can model for you the way of justice, so that we might re-enter. When you cross back over the Jordan and come back into your homes, you will be renewed. Renewed as a new people. So this, I think, is the kind of world He was trying to create. And what an amazing thing that He was the teacher of Jesus of Nazareth. We are pretty sure about that. He was the teacher of Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus was John's disciple before He had His own disciples. So I like to think of John in this co-creating, sub-creating way as a teacher. So many of you here in Berkeley are teachers, or you're students, or you were teachers. I think I've covered everybody. Right? So, pretty much. It's Berkeley. So, I think about that, and I think about the enormous creation that emanates out of a classroom, where a teacher is, in whatever level, in whatever kind of subject, is forming classes of people who actually go out and then change communities, change worlds by what they have received. And often, as you well have experienced, it's not just, and maybe not even primarily, the words that the teachers have said. It's the model of their lives and the way they have lived. And think of the thousands of people that some teachers have sent forth into the world to reshape the world around them. They are making worlds with their teaching. And this is what John was doing in baptizing. In baptizing, he was using a water rite to talk about what we kind of faintly call repentance. But for him, repentance was not so much bewailing the past that was inherent in the process, but was much more truly getting a new mind for a new day. Getting a new mind to prepare people to be able to meet the present, the sacrament of the present, and the future. This is what he was preparing people to do. And he was shaping, we think, perhaps thousands of people. Luke actually tells it that way. Many, many people were in the water. And then there was this other person, Jesus of Nazareth. He too was in the water with this crowd. And you can think about that in terms of your experience of teaching. There really is always one person to whom it is not just teaching, but you could say it's initiation. It's a transmission of everything that you've got within you to the special person who can receive it more powerfully and deeply than anyone else. And you know it when you meet that person. And you know that that person is going to go beyond you, is going to take your message further than you imagined. I was very struck when I was taking summer theology courses at Oxford on evolution to learn about Darwin's teacher. I had never thought about Darwin's teacher. But it was an Anglican clergyman who was on the edge of being able to speak about evolution. And his daughters collected specimens for Darwin. So you can see this kind of deep kind of friendship and teacher-student, teacher-disciple relationship. And Darwin outshone his teacher. And he rejoiced in that. The teacher rejoiced that Darwin far outshone him. So that we don't even remember him. So this is John. He's creating that world and that person who will be the one we call the Messiah. Now, I've kind of spun that out, and it's to me a beautiful vision. I look at it, and it's beautiful, and then I go, today. What about today? And the same cry for justice, but a different shape of justice is needed, isn't it? That's where we are. And yet, I wonder if we are thinking about the second coming of Christ as a recapitulation of the Christ who came before. In that, I think I might be dreaming too small, if I think that. I might be dreaming too small. And I've learned from my Buddhist brothers and sisters that they dream of a coming one as well, another Buddha who is of the future. They call him Maitreya Buddha. Now, the Maitreya Buddha is understood in many ways. He's a mysterious figure. He's of the future. He's beyond, as one of my teachers says, you can't pre-think it, because it is actually beyond. But one of the great teachers of my life, whom I've never met in person, I only read his luminous books, and I've heard him speak into huge crowds twice, is Thich Nhat Hanh, the great Zen Buddhist Vietnamese teacher, who's very elderly and frail at this point. And he said, Maitreya Buddha may come to us in a different way than Sakyamuni Buddha came to us. He may come to us, the Buddha may come to us, Maitreya Buddha, as a community rather than as a person. Maybe not just a community, maybe as the whole awakened earth, no longer willing to be subject to suffering, nor let others be subject to suffering, or subject others to suffering, but all awakened to compassion together. That might be the Buddha of the future. And that is very resonant for me with what our theology, what our Bible, what our church teaches us about the second coming. Why I think that is because of the Pentecost. The trajectory of Jesus' life was from an individual life, a seed that died and fell into the earth, that it might rise and be very fruitful. And the Pentecost is the picture of that. No longer are we to apprehend Jesus as a single person. This is also the message of the road to Emmaus. He's Pan. At that point, he disappears so he can be everywhere. And the Spirit is shed from God to everyone, indeed to the earth itself. So we, if we are thinking of John the Baptist, this beautiful, enigmatic, powerful, magnetic figure, and we want to be servants, sub-creators, co-creators like him for justice, in the area of the United States that has the most income inequality of any place in the United States, in a country that is the most income unequal in the world other than Singapore, where that drives all kinds of things that appear under the headings of racism, where our prison system is in no way to be confused with something that reshapes and gives people a new start in life, but rather wastes lives, and especially lives of young men of color. In that world, we might be praying to be John the Baptist as a community also. So all souls, and as I said earlier, all souls, but also all souls. You, this very, very precious congregation, I wonder if you might ask yourself that question. How might we create a world as teachers, as shapers of a world of people who would love justice, would love to make the ways straight, the rough places plain, so that all could walk on an even path? And then, this is mind-bending, and then we might be the ones who receive that message as well. If the coming Christ is the world God loves so much, awakened to its own Christ-bearing qualities, mightn't we also receive our own message and live in